Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, drive time in effect. You know what happened to me today, Dan? So,
hey, Jason, what happened to you today?
You know what? Thank you. Thank you for asking. So we are on YouTube. We're on the YouTubes, and we're on Facebook and X, and we stream this show live there every day. And today I kind of got going in our opening topic, and I was passionate and engaged and really wanted to talk about the fact that I think most people are uninterested in having a third party. And I got so into it that at 3:30, I looked down at my little kind of control console that I run the streaming. People think we have a lot of people working here at the radio station. Yeah. It's you and me. And I drive.
And it's barely even that.
Yeah. Accurate. So I drive the stream, and I forgot to turn it on. I plugged it all in, I set it all up, and I forgot.
Think of it is, you got a lot of stuff going on.
There's a lot of buttons.
And
I'm
once
logging
in, a while,
in to the text thing.
You get a thing all set, ready to go, and you just that last bit of hitting the button.
One more button.
Just, it eludes you at times.
I did not do it. Well, like, this happens to me with you in the morning, that I will.
I wasn't going
to
bring it up, but there you go.
Well, I think you brought it up.
No, I didn't at all.
In your way, you said that sometimes I don't hit one button, which, of course, I know means the send email button.
Yeah, but they don't know that until you bring it up.
Dan will send an email about 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
Some days, I am starting my own email response prior to Dan's email showing up.
Right.
And some days I don't, but there are times that I respond to Dan's email in full. And I think, like, how weird that, like, Dan never said anything about it. And I just assume, I'm like, well, he's probably busy today. It's all right. Dan can have a life.
Which is what I assume when that response doesn't make it to me is, well, Jason's probably got 15 video shoots that he's doing. That's
right.
Fine.
And then I come to work and I'm like, well, didn't I say that? And I sometimes say it almost a little snotty, like, why am I even sending you these emails? And then literally every time over the last 3 years but one, because sometimes you don't fully read the email.
That more than once that happens, yes.
But I would say 70% of the time I just never hit send and it's sitting in my drafts. Do you think that's about an accurate breakdown? It's at least 70% and maybe 80. I may be underselling it.
I think 70 to 80 is a fair range.
Yeah.
You could just leave it there. Sure.
Yeah. It happens. Some people are texting in their ideas as to where, if we were to put Alligator Alcatraz, you know.
Where would you put people that couldn't escape from in the Twin Cities?
Right.
I would suggest any roundabout.
Just try to figure it out.
We have no clue with the roundabouts. We have no idea what's going on. Once you're in there, you're in there. You can't get out.
That's pretty good. Trader Joe's parking lot?
Also very good.
That's very good.
St. Louis Park has a lot of really nasty parking lots. Yeah. You mentioned Costco. There's a Trader Joe's it's almost impossible to get in and out of.
In Maple Grove, the parking lot that is the worst is the Whole Foods parking lot. So there's a Whole Foods, and in the same parking lot is like a Pittsburgh Blue.
Oh, yeah.
And the Trader Joe's and like a World Market. And that,
good luck to you.
Yeah, that Trader Joe's, you're like, I don't know. It's sort of a short
aisle.
They should
have put all that stuff where they have the REI, and then you could just camp there and eventually get your way out.
It is funny. We have friends who will come to Maple Grove and will say, like, oh, the traffic at Maple Grove. And I always am like, what are you talking about? But that's what they're talking about,
yeah.
Like on the weekend in the shopping area.
Yeah.
Another texter says Walmart on Black Friday.
Sure.
You know, 5 cheap toasters. That's all they got. Mm. We just bought it, a new toaster.
Did you?
Have you ever had to replace a toaster? It feels like something you should have forever.
Yeah. The toaster that I have in my apartment is the same toaster that I moved in with. Low these 20 years ago.
Right.
I did get a new toaster. I was gifted a new toaster.
And was your old toaster, was it time?
The old toaster works just fine. And as evidence of that, the new toaster that I was given stayed in the box up on a shelf above the kitchen cabinets. And I've now managed to re-gift that toaster to my friend's college age kid who moved into a new place and she needed a toaster. And I'm like, well, I have this Darth Vader toaster that I was given, but have never used. You're welcome to it. And she gladly accepted.
It's a Darth Vader?
It's a Darth Vader toaster, yes.
Well, I'm not sure I'm a big supporter of, like, novelty electrical appliances.
As much of a Star Wars nerd as I am.
It's a little concerning.
I couldn't bring myself to break out the Darth Vader toaster.
Yeah.
You know, for a college kid's, apartment, it makes perfect sense. But, yeah.
UL certified, the Darth Vader?
I have no idea. I have no clue.
I'm trying to find like a good Darth Vader quote that you could sort of weave into making toast. All I am surrounded by is toast and dead men. I don't know.
Okay.
That's just the first quote that showed up. So we needed a new toaster.
Yeah.
Because we also had the same toaster that I think we moved into our house with 20 years ago.
Of course.
And
toaster technology has not exactly,
I don't think it's changed,
skyrocketed.
What they do is they put more, like, there are more buttons on it.
There's buttons, and some of them light up, and some of them do like an imprint on the toast, but that doesn't really look like what it's supposed to look like.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Like, so Alyssa made toast. And she was standing by where the toaster was plugged in, and the plug started heating up.
Ooh, that's usually a bad sign.
Right. So she was like, I think we need a new toaster.
Sure.
And I said, I'm on it. Because one of the things that I have learned from my father, this is direct from my father, who is a subscriber to Consumer Reports magazine, is I am ready to go analyze the reviews. I'm going to find the best toaster for the price. We're not getting the $200 deluxe toaster that will like eject the toast and then put it on a conveyor belt and deliver it right to your plate.
Yeah.
So I look up like best toasters, and two different review sites had this toaster from Walmart that was like some celebrity. It was like a Reese Witherspoon toaster. A thing? Drew Barrymore.
That's
Drew Barrymore.
Same thing.
So Drew Barrymore, who annoys me. Like, I'm not a fan of Drew Barrymore. But this toaster was well reviewed. So I told Alyssa, I'm like, well, this is what we should get. And so, like a good wife, Alyssa overrules me and gets some other dumb toaster. That's like the slots are too small for bagels.
Uh-oh.
Right? And while Alyssa's struggling to cram this bagel in the toaster, like, I've had a lot of success in my life, and very little compares to when you've been overruled by your spouse, and you
were right.
You were right. Now, I don't know if I was right. I don't have the Drew Barrymore toaster.
We're just going to assume that you were.
I mean, I can see why Alyssa was skeptical, because the toaster, they're pretty. So they're like, they're in like a matte green or a cream color.
So the assumption is more time and energy and engineering went into the pretty versus the actual function of the toaster.
I think that was her concern.
She's analytical like that. That tracks.
But I was just looking on TikTok. I mean, I was looking at, I sent her.
I mean, look, if she assumed that, there'd be reason that she might think that way.
So now what do you do, though, when you buy a toaster that is a perfectly good toaster, but, the slot's not big enough?
Goodwill.
But you just feel like you just burned $35 or whatever.
Yeah. Sunk cost, man. Move on.
Mm. Now on YouTube, Lethal is saying, I am 45. I use my Darth Vader toaster. It toasts Star Wars into the bread.
Fantastic. I thought this one was going to burn, you know, Darth Vader's visage right. into the bread.
Right.
And then when I brought it out to my friend's house and I'm looking at it, it doesn't make that claim at all. That was just apparently an assumption on my part.
Texter says, daughter has a C-3PO Star Wars toaster. Going strong for 3 years now. Still toasted bagels and bread.
And making all those robot sounds. You got to love it. Only she says now, she says it making whistling robot sounds. That would be R2-D2, I would assume, yeah. not C-3PO.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I appreciate the
common,
effort.
Common.
Well, I mean, you just, you know, you got to be specific about these things.
Toaster talk continues here.
Other great places to put people and they would never get out.
Yeah.
The State Fair grandstand in the middle of the fair run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That would be.
On a 95 degree day.
Oof.
Yeah. Wonderful. I feel like, can we just print this segment and send this one to the Marconi people?
I was going to say, I mean, just let the award, they want to mail the award directly to your house.
Probably,
or
yeah.
to the station,
right.
you know.
All right, it's 4:22. I have an adventure in customer service to share with you in just a minute. All right, I think we're going to stop talking about toasters, although people are setting
the text line is
the text line is into it.
Hot toaster talk right here on the 830.
I don't know. So one texter says buy a dual-lit toaster. These are very fetching and very expensive. Dual-lit toaster. There's like a really pretty one that's like a four slicer, $380.
What?
Yeah. But the texter says it will last for life. There's another more standard one that's like $200.
It better last like multiple lifetimes.
I don't know.
You're going to make a car payment.
It says here over 75 years of British design and innovation. I mean, when you're thinking about toast, I mean, the Brits should know about toast, right? I'm not going to them for dental equipment.
No, that'd be a bad idea.
All clad toaster, says a texter, a four slicer. And an excellent listener who just had pork chops soaked in 50-50 Coke and Italian dressing. That's a good marinade.
Ooh, interesting.
Soda is a very good.
Yeah, underrated.
Yeah. Very, very good.
Another texter says pretty toasters are like a lot of pretty things, pretty useless.
Wow. I'm offended by that as a very pretty man. How dare you? All right, so here's my adventure in customer service, which is, I think a lot of you will relate to this scenario. So last night we get home and we're having brats on the grill. Nice pork farmer. I was out at this pizza farm in Princeton, and the guy who is the farmer who made the pepperoni and made the sausage is like, hey, Jason, you love pork. And he gives me some brats. Very nice. So we go to grill up the brats, and I have a slightly fancy grill. I'm making fun of the toaster, but I have a grill, like one of those ceramic grills, that has, it connects to your app. Now, you're judging already that my grill connects to an app.
No, I'm not judging. I'm
chortling?
I'm smiling because, of course, you have this.
Yes.
Of course you do.
So it's Kamado Joe is the brand. And so I go to turn on the grill. And I put the charcoal in there. And I push the power button because there's a power button that lets you, like, set the temperature. And it controls, like, a fan. So it helps kind of get the fire going. And it beeps, but the screen doesn't go on. So you're like,
that seems like a problem.
Yeah. So I unplug it. I plug it back in. I check the brick. But because it's beeping, you're like, well, power is getting to this thing. There's just nothing on the thing. So I go to the web. I go to the app.
Because of course you do.
And the hours of customer service for the grill company 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. because that's when people are growing.
Yeah. Like, every fourth Friday.
Why is there no one available at night? And then it says you have to send an email. The only way you can contact someone is email. There's no text. There's no call. There's a pretend chat bot that makes you feel like, oh, maybe if I get enough questions wrong, they'll let me talk to a person.
Nope.
And then it's like, well, put in your name and we'll catch you within 2 days. It drives me crazy. All I want is an 800 number to call a person. Is that... Now, I know so many of you that are on, like, the self-checkout team, you guys don't want to talk to people.
That's right.
Do you like a chat bot that tells you everything? Like, oh, maybe you could chat GPT it and try to solve the problem? And I looked at Reddit. I looked at, you're like, if you're going to find somewhere where people are complaining about stuff, maybe Reddit. Did they contact me today? What do you think?
No. No. And it's a holiday week. I'm not anticipating you're getting to get contacted anytime real soon.
In the meantime, I mean, am I supposed to operate a grill like a normal human without the app and without the fan?
Oh, my God.
How do I even do it?
What kind of barbaric grill is this?
It's a first world problem, but this customer service challenge, I think a lot of you guys could relate to. We are going to break in just a minute. A New York Times reporter puts two Minneapolis chefs in the spotlight. They are getting national attention for something that's happening right in our own backyard. We will talk with Brett Anderson and find out why he wanted to write in the New York Times about Yia Vang and Diane Mua. We'll talk with Brett in just a minute on CCO.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
And Darusha Eats is brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board. What is great Hmong food? Huge story in the New York Times this week, centered right on Minneapolis and two chefs, Yia Vang and Diane Mua. Both grew up on farms, both in their low 40s, and both, according to New York Times reporter Brett Anderson, are creating a cuisine that almost never happens in America. The emergence of a cuisine that's only really known in its own immigrant community. And so Brett Anderson joins us on the John Schuster, Coldwell Banker Hotline, New York Times reporter. Brett, it's good to visit with you. We've visited with Yia and Diane on this podcast and on this show many, many times. But what is it that got you interested in these two? Because you've been looking into them for a long time.
Well, it goes back quite a few years, much longer, further back than I normally go with a typical newspaper story. But I first, I first ate Yia's food, Yia Vang's food, I think it was in 2019, when it was before COVID, and it was when I was home. I'm originally from Minneapolis. On a visit, and I went to Union Hmong Kitchen. I think it was outside a place called Cider Works. And, you know, and I had, as someone who grew up in Minneapolis, I haven't lived there in 25, 30 years, but I go home all the time, and I was born and raised there. I lived there until I was in my mid-20s, and I very much knew about the Hmong community. When you grow up there, you know, that was something that I had heard about. It was sort of before I moved away, before Hmong farmers and stuff started to become really prominent in the farmers market and that kind of thing. But in any event, I just remember eating his food and thinking, gosh, this is, I want to see more of this. Right. Yeah. And he immediately did get quite a bit of national attention. I mean, he had a dish on the cover of Bon Appetit magazine all the way back in 2020. And I stayed in touch with him, you know, over this period of time. And during that period of time, while he was trying to open Vinay, and he had a a series of sort of missed starts where I think he thought he had a space one time and that fell through, and thought he had investors and those that would fall through. And then Diane Mua sort of came along as another Among American Chef with really, really good credentials. And I started talking to her too. And I was interested in each of their restaurants. And then it turns out that they open, you know, within months of each other and within blocks of each other.
You write, the two restaurants showcasing Hmong food represent an extremely rare occurrence in American culinary arts, the emergence of a cuisine virtually unknown outside its own immigrant community. And I think sometimes here in the Twin Cities, we take it for granted. But, you know, before Union Hmong Kitchen, there was no Hmong food in a restaurant scene. There just wasn't.
Mm-hmm. And yes, and that is incredibly unusual. I mean, think about some of the foods not from the United States that you were first exposed to. You know, let's take Thai cuisine, for instance.
Right.
You know, I was born in the 1970s. You know, I first would eat Thai food or Vietnamese food, usually in a very sort of undercapitalized mom and pop owned restaurant, right? Probably in a strip mall or something like that.
Sure.
People cooking, you know, what they, you know, their own food, but also what they think that the American audience will want. And you eat that food over a period of time, and then you see it sort of migrate into sort of higher end restaurants, maybe a next generation of Thai or Vietnamese American chefs open up a restaurant that's got a little bit more of this American voice and certain kinds of amenities that you might expect to see in more of an upscale restaurant. Well, here you have two restaurants that sort of appear fully formed in that way, right? Mm, yeah. And without having any of that backstory, you know, it's sort of like if the first ever Mexican restaurant in the United States opened with like a PR firm and craft cocktails and a full list of moles without generations of taquerias sort of preceding it, right? You know, I mean, that's a little bit an extreme example, but that's what I'm talking about, the rare occurrence.
It reminds me a little bit of what Sean Sherman and Awamni did here in the Twin Cities. Where, yes, there is some sort of, you know, there have been Native American efforts at restaurants and museums, for example, or food trucks. But, you know, here in Minneapolis to have that start. And again, same deal where it was pretty much a fully formed restaurant. It is unusual. And for us to have, you know, the Sean Sherman experience here and now to have the Yia Vang and Diane Mua is, I don't know, is there something in it's Minneapolis, you think? It is quite, you think in a couple of years, like that is a remarkable sort of innovation in a food world that doesn't necessarily have that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think it really speaks to how sort of alive and dynamic the Twin Cities restaurant scene has become. You know, really, all of these restaurants that you just mentioned, including Awamni, are restaurants that are like very much about the voice of the chefs that run them. And they're unique voices, and they're unique to the Twin Cities. They're unique to the Upper Midwest. They're not really drawing cues from, you know, restaurants on the coasts, which is sort of a typical dynamic over the generations, right? And I think it's exciting, and I think it's something that the Twin Cities really ought to be proud of.
These two chefs, Brett, are similar in sort of the training they had in a culinary world, but personality-wise and style-wise, you wrote about this, and certainly we've interviewed both of them on this podcast, and I've interviewed them many times on TV and for the magazine. They are so different, so different.
There's no doubt about it. And you know, as you know, as a journalist, that's fascinating to me, right? I like that. And as a diner too, I mean, their restaurants speak to it as well. I mean, I'm just a sort of a food level. I think a big difference is Diane's background as a pastry chef, you know, And that really does come out.
How does that show up for you? How did that show up?
I think it shows up in the most obvious way is that, you know, it's there's a bakery there, and it's very accomplished. And, you know, something I noticed in the number of times that I was able to go there, both for lunch and dinner, is that people did order baked goods to start.
Yes.
That's a unique thing, you know, in a restaurant. And I think that's sort of fascinating. I do think that her cooking is a little more pointillistic in the way you might expect a pastry chef's to be, where, you know, I think that Yi is a little brawnier. And as Diane points out, and I talked to Yi about this too, you know, she really believes that a lot of the differences they have as both chefs and just restaurateurs and people has to do with their genders and the way that that the difference between young boys and young girls being raised in a traditional Hmong community. And I find that all to be incredibly interesting and very revealing. You know, I mean, I like restaurants that can tell you a story about something larger than your meal. I think both these restaurants do that, to put it mildly.
Brett Anderson with the New York Times, terrific reporter, native of Minneapolis. We had a long conversation that's available for you on podcast. We just uploaded it to the DeRussia Eats podcast. So wherever you get podcasts, just search for DeRussia Eats and that'll get it going. So DeRussia Eats on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Check it out. Thanks to Brett for joining us, and what a great national attention for the Twin Cities. We talk about why that national attention is even more poignant right now when you look at the way Minnesota and Minneapolis has shown up in national headlines over the last 5 years. It's been because of Derek Chauvin and George Floyd and protests and then political assassinations and Tim Walz running for vice president. To have this other narrative of the amazing story. And we also talk about how scholars say the Hmong didn't choose Minnesota. Minnesota chose the Hmong. Pretty interesting stuff. So more about that in the podcast. DeRussia Eats is what you search for, and check this out. Let's break. Twins pregame is coming up in just about 10 minutes. We'll take the temp of the team when we come back here on CCO.
Let's take the current temp of your Minnesota Twins. Brought to you by Chef IQ Sense. Get your wireless meat thermometer now at chefiq.com.
All right, time to take the temp of the Twins as they are in action in just about first pitch, about 40 minutes or so. I don't know. Kind of.
I mean, they're in Miami, so you could call it muggy.
Royce is playing. So
Royce is back, batting eighth. Back from his rehab stint.
We're still pretty cold. We're pretty cold.
I mean, right? You just dropped 2 out of 3 in Detroit. You got scoobled.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard to.
I wasn't that mad at the Detroit.
I wasn't
series,
mad about
though.
That game at all.
Not mad about that game. And to be honest, but, I was hoping to not get swept. I mean, Detroit has been playing so well.
Yeah, the fact that you got him in the first game and then got clobbered again in that second game, that was the one that, you know, again, you get beat by Tarik Skubal. Welcome to the club. But
I'm glad we're done with June, though, aren't you?
Oh.
And the Twins are only 4 games under 500. So if we can turn things around.
You can have another month like May. That would be great.
Right. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's still a long road to go. We're in striking distance. Now you just got to perform. Caitlin Clark is not playing in the Lynx.
Chicken.
Championship.
She's scared.
What is this thing called tonight? Commissioner's Cup?
Commissioner's Cup.
Kind of a bummer, isn't it? But here's who I laugh at. I laugh at the people who bought tickets, hoping to sell them because they were going to make some Caitlin Clark money.
Oops, that didn't quite work out.
So what I say to you is, ha, 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 karma. Sometimes you gamble and you lose. That's how it goes. We're done early today, which means I can go sit on the patio at the Minneapolis Club. I got to just walk right up the street. and have a drink and listen to Twins on my Odyssey app is what I'm going to do. So thanks for listening to us. Check out the podcast. Check us out on YouTube. We will see you tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.